Everybody, welcome to this episode of the French Kiss Life podcast, where we explore what it means to live artfully and well. I'm Tanya Lee. I am a certified master life coach for 10 years now, and I'm also the creator of the Slim Chic and Savvy Immersion Experience. And I have a special treat for you today. I'm bringing on a member of the French Kiss Life community who I absolutely adore. We have a lot in common, and I think our biggest commonality is our love and curiosity for life. So without further ado, I am going to bring on Miss Dahlia Constantine. Welcome.
Thank you.
I have to brag on you. I have your bio here, and it's super impressive. So it's always good for people to get a sense of who you are. And one of the things that I love about you is your love of education and your love of children. So let me just tell everybody how amazing you are, just for a quick moment. How's that sound?
Okay.
So Dahlia is a doctoral student in curriculum and teaching at Teachers College at Columbia University. And she was previously a public school teacher for over a decade in New York, California, and Virginia, where she had the privilege of teaching students from all around the world. Having lived and attended schools on multiple continents, she loves exploring all of the learning that communities offer outside of the classroom and the relationships between individuals and their communities. Dahlia lives in New York with her amazing husband, Justin, who I've met, who I also adore. And they love exploring new neighborhoods every weekend and new cities and countries several times a year. And at your core, Dahlia, you are an explorer and a lover of life. And so welcome to the podcast, my friend.
I'm so excited.
So we were chatting a little bit before we got started, and I asked you if it was okay to call you out on being a reformed perfectionist. So are we okay with putting that label on you?
Totally. I love reformed as part of it.
Yes. So I remember when we were working together, like you had so many things that you were really excited about doing, but there always seemed to be a reason why they were not getting done. So tell me what shift happened for you.
Well, you know, I realized that I could do things perfectly down to the minute, you know, have every like letter in place and have nothing accomplished or, and like, so I'll give an example of like, I've been wanting to write children's books and I was an elementary school teacher for a long time and I love stories and how they bring kids together, how they speak out individually, but how they bring communities together. And I have all these stories I want to tell and they all just stayed right here or like maybe on my computer because it wasn't just right. I didn't have the character just right. I didn't have the perfect opening line. And after my work with Tanya, I was like, well, this perfectionism, after 10 years, I have zero books, or I could be do it imperfectly and have, you know, a book or two or three. And that's the big thing. And I was telling Tanya before the call that like, it still comes up when I was writing that like, oh, this is a horrible first line. No one's going to want to read this book. A kid will pick it up and put it down. And I had to like keep going through that, and that still comes up, that perfectionism. But I'm like, all right, girlfriend, thank you for letting me know it's not perfect, and I'm gonna keep writing anyways, and I'm gonna send this book off anyways.
Yes, and tell me what you just tell the audience what you just told me before we got on the video.
I just did three picture books, one for a writing camp where we get to work with these published authors, and they give us real critiques, and to a writing contest to win a publication contract with a children's publishing book house. And I have to tell you, I've been like wanting to enter this contest. It's called the New Voices Award for 6 years.
6 years.
Sorry. 6 years. It's based on my niece who was 6 years old when I started and she's 12 now. And she's like, this is about a little kid. And I'm like, well, yeah, when I started the story, you were a little kid, but I did it this year. I did it, and yes, it's off in the world now. Now, who knows what will happen with it? but it almost doesn't matter if it gets accepted or not. It's about me, it's about the process and me sending it in, because now I have that momentum going and I'm like excited to keep writing and keep sending things off.
It's so good to see you so excited, right? Because, you know, it's funny how we can stop the momentum. And if you look at perfectionism, it's just a fancy form of fear, right? Right? At least you're fancy about it. But no, truly, it's that fear of what if it's rejected? What if it's not good enough? What was your big fear of putting your work out in the world?
Well, you know, I'm a doctoral student, so that tells you I'm kind of a nerd. Mm-hmm. And I was always a good student growing up. And my mom has some hilarious stories, because when I was young, I lived in Egypt and I went to prep school. And we have like, you know, you're ranked every month, first, second, third in every subject starting in first grade. And if I wasn't in first place, I kind of would have a tantrum. And my parents are these two really easygoing, hippie-like people. And I would like have this storm. And I think so much of my identity, I think like a lot of women, is derived from being a good student, doing everything right, and being number one. And over time, it became less about in competition with other people, but like I had to be at my best at all times. And I couldn't have something with my name on it be crappy work. Like,
and then the result is you don't put work out there.
And I didn't do anything, right? Like, and it's like, great, I have no crappy work because I have no work. So not a good formula, especially for those goals and dreams we have where there isn't, you know, we're not in school anymore. Like, you know, I have a paper for class, I will get it done and I'll do well. But if I have this dream of writing a children's book or making jewelry, which is a new class I'm taking, because there's no like life force pushing on it, just my own desires, those are the things that could easily just get pushed aside because of that perfectionism. So I'm glad I'm working on it now. And even if it comes up, I get to talk to that voice and tell her to calm down and I'll take care of her.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Like I think about my own journey with perfectionism, because it's something so many women can relate to. Right. And how we learned it, it's different for all of us, but it's this desire to only put out this perfect self. And in reality, it doesn't exist. And so we keep putting our lives on hold day after day after day. And it really, for me, it boiled down to fear of what will people think? What if I'm rejected? But imagine not being afraid of that. Right. And it's something we talk about a lot, being comfortable with rejection, being comfortable with people's criticism. That's when you really can get that momentum and just start putting your best work in that moment out into the world. So I am so excited to see your children's books.
Oh, yes. Too.
I want to sign copy, my friend.
Yes.
So you joined Slim Chic and Savvy, I think back in 2016. Yeah. And I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but you know, from the outside, you have an incredible life, right?
Yeah.
You've got an amazing husband. You live in a great apartment in New York. Like a lot of women, it's like you should be extremely happy, right? But there's something within a lot of women in that predicament, myself included, it's like something's off, right? And so I'm curious, if you can think back to 2016 when you joined, what was it you were looking for?
That's a great question, because I think about that all the time at that time period. You know, it was my first year of my doctoral program. I had won this prestigious fellowship, you know, all this funding attached to it and, you know, stuff that looks good on your resume. We have this beautiful apartment here in New York and my husband and everything. And it was a big moment because I had left teaching after a long time and teaching was so much part of who I am and working with kids. And it was this transition point where I could feel some of those things that creep up for me, the perfectionism that, you know, only doing things that I know ahead of time I'm going to be good at. So avoiding risk. So from the outside, it looks like I'm doing all these great things, but that's because I picked things that I know I'm going to be great at right away. And, you know, these things that go down in my heart, like writing the children's book, kept getting pushed to the side, even though in my heart, I really wanted it. You know, art classes, because I come from a family of artists and I am like awful stick figure girl, but wanting to take collage and jewelry making classes just because it makes my heart happy for no other reason, but being afraid that I'm going to suck and be really awful at it. And I could see that, like, from the outside, and sometimes, like, what looks great from outside can still be mediocre for us on the inside if we're not, like, following those heart passions.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm starting this new chapter. We're in a new city. I'm on this new path of this doctorate, which, as intense as it is, anyone who's a teacher knows it's that, like, it's not that, like, 16-hour day of teaching, especially elementary school. So I have, like, just a little bit more openness, and I really wanted to, like, live it fully and really, like, take advantage of it and go all in and not just half do my life, which even for other people, it looks like I'm going 100%. We all know on the inside when we're doing it halfway. Yeah. And that's like I was, like, I wasn't 100% me.
Yeah. So what was the biggest shift that you made?
So the biggest shift is related to my word of the year, which is actually alchemy. And it's this idea of taking everyday consistent action and that, like, turning lead into gold of alchemy. But the lead is just like the everyday, the mundane, the repeated action that's what really shifts our life. Like, I'm really good at, like, big dramatic action, moving to another country when I knew my first marriage wasn't working, getting a divorce. But it's those everyday consistent things that really, that's what our life is made of. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, from my beauty routine every night to exercising every day to being a woman who, when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. That intentionality with my word. And for me, it's that everyday consistent practice, even when I don't feel like.
So oh, this is so good. It's so good. Because how many of us say, I just don't feel like it. And, you know, I talk about this in Slim Chic and Savvy. You can live your life based on desire or your mood. And if you live your life based on your mood, chances are it's not going to be a great life because our emotions, they come and go, they ebb and flow. And so there's something about showing up for what you want, even when you don't feel like it. So I'm so glad you brought that up, as well as the daily practice. Because a lot of women will say to me, I get it intellectually, but it's when you start practicing it day in and day out that you start to see results in your life. So what does the practice look like for you? Your daily practice?
Yeah. You know, for me, I decided to have some non-negotiables. And you had talked about this on a call, I think my first time in SCS. We all have things that are non-negotiable and we do them, even if we think we're not disciplined. And, you know, for example, I grew up in a Middle Eastern family and later in LA. So I'm going to say vanity is part of my upbringing. So I'm never going to leave the house unless I look nice. It just doesn't matter. I'm, you know, never going to not make dinner and put together healthy dinners. You know, so I have areas where I was consistent in, but so I knew I could do that. But why wasn't I doing it in things that mattered, like creative writing every day? Yeah. So I decided to develop some non-negotiables in the areas. So my three big goals right now in my life are my creative writing, my dissertation, and being at my healthiest. So I decided no matter what is going on that day, I have three non-negotiables. So for my creative writing, it's reading one picture book or writing 15 minutes a day. For exercise, it's to do a 7-minute workout, strength training. Like, if I can't do anything else, I do that. And for my dissertation, it's to read one article or chapter a day. So no matter what is going on, even if it's a day where I'm like, I just can't do it. I have these non-negotiables and I said I'm going to do them, and combined, they might take an hour total. So even on my day, I'm doing them. But you know, what typically happens is you start and those first 15 minutes are really, I don't want to.
Like our inner toddler takes it. Yes! Like, I don't want to do it.
And then you're like, come on, come on, come on. And one of the things, Tanya, you do a really amazing job of teaching us, one of the millions of things, is that just being ready for that voice of like, I don't feel like exercising. I'll just do it tomorrow. I live in New York. I walk around all the time anyways. And then slowly it becomes, okay, well, you know, I can put out my exercise clothes in my bathroom on the sink. So when I wake up in the morning, they are there and I can put them on. Or I can have the article, you know, printed out and ready to go for me the next morning. And that way it just eases my day. So, you know, it starts with these non-negotiables, and then you start building these like structures around them that just create this really streamlined rhythm to the day.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because a lot of women don't want that structure because they think it takes away from their freedom. I don't know about you, but for me, it has given me so much freedom, right? Because I was wasting time. I wasn't really getting momentum towards what I wanted. And I was framing it all in, I'm a free spirit. I don't want structure, right? It was like so dramatic. And I realized I was sabotaging myself day after day. And so now, like you, having those non-negotiables in place and knowing I'm going to show up to write at 10 a.m. no matter what. Not only do I produce a piece of writing, but it's how we get to feel about ourselves, of being the kind of women that show up.
That's really it. And this is, I know, I feel like I'm going to keep saying, one time you told us this, but it's the idea of like losing trust with yourself. And I think at some point we all go through a phase where that happens for whatever reason, you know, there's an illness or, you know, there's a move or, you know, even a really happy change, a baby or something that something happens and you start not doing what you say you're going to do. And then that sense of trust is lost. And I definitely had that because I was a classroom teacher for so long that like your day is really structured for you. You know, you're at school at 7, the kids leave at 3:30, you've got these meetings after school, this happens, and you don't really have to think, you just go from one thing to the another. And all of a sudden I was a doctoral student and I'm a full-time student. So I didn't have to be in class till 5. And all of a sudden I had all of this time and I took way too many naps my first year. I don't know why, but I had all this free time and I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know, I had been so structured by the outside for so long that I had to learn to create structures for myself. And I think same thing, Tanya, I was like, woo, I'm just going to walk around New York all day. I'm going to go to a museum.
Take siestas.
Yes.
Deep nap.
Nothing. And then 5 o'clock would hit and I'd walk to class and I'm like, what happened today? Like someone had taken me out of my body or something. And like, I was just popped back in like, oh my God, nothing happened. I did nothing all day. I realized like, yes, it doesn't have to be this external structure of like, you know, someone standing there going, come on, young lady, which is not even how I grew up. I have very mildly structured parents, but that it was time to learn how to create structure for myself that helped me achieve my goals a little at a time. And then trusting myself again. And this is where the SCS work, like I can have a big vision. I want to be a children's book author, but it's going to be a little action. Like, I'm going to read one picture book today. So yeah. Like big vision and then little steps so that like, okay, great. Now I could read 2 books just to learn how to trust ourselves again and build that relationship with ourselves.
Which is the most important relationship we have, right? You know, I think I use the analogy in Slim Chic and Savvy about your friend who doesn't show up for lunch like 6 weeks in a row. Eventually, you just don't trust her. You just think, hey, she's not going to show up. And yet we as women do this to ourselves day after day, and we lose that trust. And so to build it up again, I love how easy you broke it down. Just those little daily actions, committing to something and showing up for it.
And it's that rush, that momentum, you know, the whole idea of like an object in motion stays in motion, an object at rest stays at rest. So it's always that first, I really think, minutes is like the hardest. Everyone may have a different number. Some people may be fine after 5 minutes, but it's that I just have to get started. That's all I have to do. And then the muses will take over, the energy of the universe, but my subconscious, something will take over after that and help me. But just staying true to what I say I want to do. And you know, one of the things that helps for me is not saying I'm going to do 20 things today. Because that's the recipe for failure and we sabotage ourselves that way, but saying, I'm going to do 2 things today and then I'm going to do them really well.
Right? No, that's such a great point. My max is 3 things a day. If I accomplish those, everything else is like icing on the cake, right? But having that focus, and so many women are very indecisive about where to focus. And that just actually made me think of a story with you. I remember on one of our calls, you were making yourself sick trying to find a hotel. And you were reading like 100 reviews on TripAdvisor, like over one decision. And I'm really curious to hear from you how that's going in terms of you becoming more decisive? Do you find yourself making quicker decisions?
I am. And it's always this. I mean, I'm laughing so hard because I was telling Tanya, my husband's a Marine, so he just makes decisions. Like, he'll like look at the same TripAdvisor page I'm at, and the first hotel that fits his needs, he's like, great, let's book it. And I'm like, no. We haven't read 17 reviews. I have to think about, you know, what country these people are coming from and what they're expecting. And let me look at three more, like TripAdvisor Canada also. I feel like I wish I were joking or exaggerating, but I'm not.
She's not, I promise you.
Look at me like, it's just a hotel. Like, just pick one. And I think that still comes up for me. And it came up this morning because we have to change our like cable plan, something. And I had that immediate gut reaction of, all right, can't make this decision today. I've got to like set aside. And I said, you know what? We're going to pick one. You know, I'm not going to just close my eyes and click one, but I'm going to set a timer for 15 minutes. I'm going to pick one and it's going to be a great decision. It's going to be a great plan. I didn't even watch TV that much, so I don't know why I was like freaking out about this, but I'm going to pick one and I'm going to assume that whatever I've picked is awesome and it's fabulous and it's a great plan.
Yes. So you picked your plan.
And I picked the plan and I just was like, go. I almost like had to like sign off immediately as soon as I did it so I wouldn't have room. So it's definitely something that I think, you know, for some of us, it's our personality. Like I remember doing this when I was like 5 years old. It's one of my earliest memories of like choosing a cake with mm-hmm. my mom. So it's okay. Like I know that about myself and I know now that like I'm going to be okay. But again, it's that like being your best friend and talking yourself alongside. So when it comes up like, all right, we're okay. We're going to pick one. It's going to be just fine, Dahlia. Click and let's go.
Done and done.
Yeah.
And the beauty of being decisive is it's what you were talking about. An object in motion stays in motion. It gets life in motion. Indecision stops life, right? It's that lull of you can't move because you're not willing to make a mistake. Right? That's usually why people are indecisive. Like, what if I pick the wrong one? But a lot of times what we end up doing is not picking anything and staying where we are, which is very familiar. And yet it's not where we want to be. And so I have found personally, the more decisions I make, the better life gets. And it's scary. It's uncomfortable. It's hard.
Brought that up because sometimes like making that decision on the cable this morning allowed me like to like jump into my dissertation work a lot with a clearer head. One, it's like not this thing hanging over, but it's that slowly building that confidence. And I hadn't thought of that, like that even in a completely different area of life, it's just because we're one woman, right? Like whatever, we have all these decisions and all these categories in our life, but it's like still one body, one mind. Yeah. That it's all filtering through. So sometimes we make that decision in one area and that energy is just ready to go now.
Yeah. It just keeps spilling into the next thing. So yeah, I still think about that story. Every time I go on TripAdvisor, I think of you. I'm like, I bet Dahlia is on this website right now researching something.
For 5 years, you know, just in case.
But you know, it's really good to know it about yourself. One of the favorite assessment tools that I'm sure I mentioned to you is the Kolbe test.
Yes.
Right? And you are a classic fact finder.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And for me, I'm a quick start and I have to be very mindful of that because I will just jump in and then realize I probably should have researched this a little bit more before I did it, right? And so there's something about just being aware of your tendencies and its impact on your life. Is it serving you or is it not?
And that's one of the best parts of SCS is like you don't say, here you go, here's your 10-step program, you're going to do this on Monday, this on Tuesday, and so much is really uncovering who you are and learning to work with it. I mean, you know, for those of you who have curly hair, obviously mine's curly, you know, like we bring a lot of metaphors back to our hair, but of like knowing this is my hair, and now how do I flow with it to make it beautiful? But in SCS, there's so many parts of my personality, I just was an autopilot that I wasn't realizing, okay, this is part of me, like I'm a fact finder. Or I'm someone who tends to be a perfectionist or does this. And like, instead of saying, that's horrible, like get rid of that part of your personality. Like, why do you have such a crappy personality? It's like, all right, I know this about myself and I understand it. And how do I keep going with it?
Right. Yeah. It's like working with it. You know, the analogy I like to use is we all have some crazy parts of ourselves, right? We're all a little bit of a hot mess. you know, whether it's perfectionistic tendencies, whether it's procrastination, whether it's fear of decision making. But there's a part of us that I feel like is that higher wisdom. Mm-hmm. It is that 90-year-old self who's lived an amazing life, who has so much wisdom to give us. And I always just ask, who do you want to be driving the bus of your life? You're still going to have all of those other parts on the bus with you. But if perfectionism is driving, you're probably not going to go far because she's going to be afraid of getting it wrong or driving to the wrong destination. Same goes with procrastination, all of these parts of ourselves. But what I've loved about you is seeing you put that wise part of yourself back in the driver's seat and letting all of the other parts come along on the ride.
Yes. They pop up and you're like, oh, you're still here. Okay. But
they're not going anywhere. But there's something about embracing them and also directing them that we're able to create amazing results in our lives. What is the thing you're most proud of?
I really think, I mean, it's so funny because it's like the small things of like just doing what I say I'm going to do every day, which sounds so simple. But really that like I say I'm going to do these things today and I stick to it. I don't try to run away from it. I don't justify why it's okay that I don't do it. I'm not doing it out of a sense of pressure or like the world's going to fall apart or a scarcity mindset, but it's really from a love of myself and a love of what I'm doing. I think so many of our lessons in SES come through in that of, you know, really understanding what makes us tick and what works for us, really understanding what our dreams are going to be, picking one and getting started, honoring what we say we're going to do. And it's just what I've always been someone who can deliver, you know, if it's, I have a paper that's due at a certain time, and I keep using that example because I'm in school, but when I was a teacher, report cards or something for my students, I could do it. Of course I could, because it's for other people or there's some external deadline on it. But I wanted to do everything with joy, and I wanted to do things that weren't something someone said I had to do. And being able to do that for myself and all these dreams that were put on hold, just, it's really exciting because, you know, every day, you know, our lives are built of days. So every day that's beautiful, and then we pick up and then we have another beautiful day and then another beautiful day, and all of a sudden it's a beautiful life.
Yeah. It's crazy how that works, right? Yeah. And I posted on Instagram not too long ago, when you master your day, you master your life. And I think a lot of times we're so focused on the future. In the future, it's important to know where you want to go, but it really comes back to today and the actions you take today, the thoughts you think today, how you love today. That's what's creating your life. And so bringing it back to this moment is where all of the magic happens.
Very exciting. And I think, you know, sometimes in different parts of our life, we get stuck in the day-to-day and don't look at the big picture. And sometimes we get stuck in like this big picture and then don't do anything about it in the day-to-day. And like, you really taught me how to like take those and put them together. Like how to have this grand, beautiful vision of how we imagine it. And then now what do I do today to help me get there? Yeah. Knowing that path is going to wind and change and things are going to come up, and that's okay because I just have to worry about today and doing it well.
Yeah. I have another question for you. Yeah. How has your change impacted your relationship with Justin?
I love talking about Justin. Sorry.
Justin, we love talking about you.
It's really funny because he went through a coaching program right before I went through SES. So he was like, you know, learning to talk in different ways. But for me, it's just this extra appreciation of him. And my husband is really amazing. He's been through a lot. He was, you know, injured in the war and recovered and thrived in this beautiful way. So I've always had this admiration for him and this inspiration. But being able to step back, and even when he like does things that I think are a little weird or like he's moody one day, being able to sit back and really appreciate him as he is, that he doesn't have to, you know, do these, you know, stand up and give a speech about recovering, for me to appreciate him just in that everyday. And it's that like sense of comfort we develop with ourselves and providing whatever we want for ourselves and not needing it from someone else. And like Tanya always says, not outsourcing your emotions to other people. I mean, I'm a little dramatic. So there are occasional times, very rare, where I find myself saying something like, you didn't tell me I'm enchanting today. Why wouldn't you tell me I'm enchanting? So it comes up. But I'm really having that factor off. Again, wish I were exaggerating, but that's one side.
Which is why I love her.
Like, does anyone say that out loud? But really being so excited and like fulfilling these things for myself. Like, I'm a very romantic person, and not in the like love romantic relationship, but like a romance with the world, and being able to experience that. So whatever Justin does for me is this like really additional extra. So there's this pressure that's like off our relationships with other people, which guess what? Makes them even more amazing and exciting. So I feel like really just getting to see him without any expectations, just loving him and letting him be who he is, and then being able to do what I want to do and romance myself in a way, just makes all the romance in the relationship a million times better.
Oh my God, you just said that so beautifully. So beautifully. And it's so true. We have all of these conditions on our relationships, and it ends up causing us so much suffering. And if we can just let people be who they are, and then we decide who we want to be, it's amazing how the relationship improves.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's like the pressure is off, and everybody just gets to take care of themselves. And as a result, you have so much more to bring to the relationship. And I'm still right there. I'm practicing this right alongside you, my friend. Because I can be dramatic too. And I'm a not so hopeless romantic. So I think everybody should be, especially anyone I'm in a relationship with.
Yes.
Right?
I love poems.
Too much to ask. Until our expectations aren't met, and then we end up suffering because of it. So, yeah.
Like learning to see the way, you know, we talk about love languages and different ways people communicate and all that. And when we're like, chilled out and just in appreciation mode, we see how much love people are putting out for us that we may not have seen before because we're filtering it through my sunglasses or whatever. Nice to see the beauty in everyone around us and how much love they have.
Yeah, it's so, so true. So in wrapping up, I'm really curious to hear from you three ways that you French kiss life every single day.
Well, I love
prep for this.
I go for a walk every day. Now I live in New York. I live in Manhattan, but I love nature. As you can see by the trees, I think you can see them behind me. But I go for that's actually one of my non-negotiables. I go for a walk without anything, and sometimes it's really only 15 minutes, depending on the day. But usually it's longer. And I just try to look for all the beauty around me. Now, I think there's some people in my neighborhood that think I'm a crazy bird lady because. Like pigeons in New York are kind of equivalent to rats by most people, but they are quite beautiful in their feathers and the colors and like the iridescent feathers. And I just enjoy them and other things. I don't just focus on pigeons, but just take a walk for appreciation and just try to be really there. You know, we talk about mindfulness and presence. And for me, that's nice, but it's easier to do that if I'm just walking, looking for beauty. It allows me to do that. And it's just, I walk around and Tanya always says, like, the sun came up today and I didn't have to do anything about that. That's how I feel. Like, there's an amazing cathedral. Look at this tree, or look how funny this kid is on a skateboard who almost ran me down, and seeing the beauty in that. So that's definitely one. I always have an afternoon tea time. And again, sometimes that's like 5 minutes and I'm standing in the kitchen having it. And sometimes that's sitting in a chair looking out at the sun and the trees. But it's just that time of calm and peace. And it's a reminder that I'm a woman who lives in abundance, that, you know, life's okay. Life's pretty great. And I have time to just sit and really enjoy the tea. And the third thing is I just pick something inspiring to read every day. I love Mary Oliver poems, so that might be it. It might be a magazine that I love called Bella Grace, but just words are, and you know, I know this about myself, that words make me tick and words inspire me. And I have a,
there she went. There she's back.
I'm here. I don't know what happened. Sorry.
All good.
I love words. I make sure that I read something inspiring. Usually it's a poem, but mm-hmm. if not, the magazine article that are not informative, they're just inspiring and beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. So if you could offer words of advice to a woman who feels stuck, maybe she's stuck in perfectionism. Maybe she is stuck in procrastination, or maybe she just feels stuck in life in general. What advice would you offer her?
I would say to pick one small thing and get started with it. So for me, yeah, I have like 20,000 goals. I'm going to be an expert in all these languages. I'm going to make jewelry. I'm going to live here. But I decided, you know, this year I'm going to start with the children's picture book. So, and then I picked one small thing to do a day. Like even when I wasn't ready to start writing, I said, I'm going to read one picture book a day. And I think it's those setting goals for ourselves that we know we can meet. And that doesn't mean we dumb down our goals, but it does mean making them small enough that we can achieve them, because it's that sense of achieving it and working towards it that I think is actually more important than whatever the goal is itself.
Yeah.
It's, again, building that trust. So picking something that you know you can do and that you're going to enter in with ease allows us to build those muscles, because it is a muscle that, like, getting unstuck is a muscle like anything else, and it needs to. And I think for me, so I'm guessing for a lot of other people, because I don't think we're that unique sometimes, is that instead of saying, okay, I have my master writing class, I'm going to write 10,000 words a day, and I'm going to read all these books, I'm going to join this committee and this, of like, I'm just going to read one picture book. And I'm going to really enjoy it. And then the next day I'll read another one. Really gets us out of our unstuckness or out of our stickiness pretty quickly and pretty smoothly.
I love that. Breaking it down into small, doable tasks. Because that's how we get to anywhere. It's one little step at a time. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. You know, I love you to the moon and back, and I'm so excited to see the incredible life that you're creating.
Thank you.
So inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy Tanya. Relish her.
Cheers.
Bye.
Hey, before you go, I always like to say French Kiss Life is what we do, and Slim Chic and Savvy is how we do it. If you are interested in creating your own success story, come check us out at slimchicandsavvy.com.